All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallward. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. I've got a lot of real-deal type news this week, less in the way of Bigfoot sightings and hauntings and more in the way of conspiracy realness. So let's dive in. The Guardian recently released a piece on the many challenges of being a black Dominican in a field that is dominated by white people, ufology. The piece went into the 2018 controversy over a top MUFON official who was disavowed by many of his peers after expressing racist far-right views on social media. Is everyone truly welcome in the UFO community? Sort of, the piece concludes. It just depends on who you talk to. A recent poll reveals that perceptions of coronavirus as dangerous or not is strongly correlated to political affiliations. About 4 in 10 Democrats say coronavirus is an imminent threat, compared to 2 in 10 Republicans. Approximately 40% of Democrats say they haven't changed their routines as a result of coronavirus, compared to 54% of Republicans. In the poll, almost everyone surveyed said their opinion on the matter was not affected by their politics. Clearly. Along the same lines, the leader of the Italian Democratic Party now says that he has coronavirus. The Democratic Party is currently in power in the Italian government. And in Maryland, news came out recently that a man now confirmed to have coronavirus attended the Conservative Political Action Conference while he was ill. This conference is attended by basically everyone of any significance on the right, including the president and vice president, although there is no evidence that our leaders were actually exposed. And finally, oil prices have collapsed by the largest amount since 1991 as Saudi Arabia plans to flood the market with cheap oil after the failure of an agreement with Russia. This has predictably caused financial chaos in the stock market, but is maybe not particularly bad news for anyone who like most Americans, owns a car but doesn't own any stocks. Back to you, Chauncey.
I'm a little surprised, I guess. I never really thought about racism in the UFO community.
Yeah, well, so it was interesting. I was looking up UFOs, and there weren't really any new sightings last week. But it was, because The Guardian's a real newspaper. So it was interesting to me to see, an expose on this topic that I'd never thought about. But, hey, I'm white. Of course I've never thought about it, right?
Well, I like how these newspapers don't, credibly cover ufology unless... there's some sort of...
Right, no, yeah.
Which, I mean, it makes sense to me, don't get me wrong.
Although
I totally
they kind of have been covering, in the last few years, that's kind of changed.
Yeah,
with a little bit. UFO coverage in, the New York Times and the Washington Post and stuff.
Well, traditionally...
But traditionally, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
UFO articles in mainstream media have a couple of snarky lines. I'm guessing this one had no snark.
No, it really didn't. It was basically just hey, it was more of a personal essay, really. Here's the experience my dad had in the UFO community.
Right.
So.
Huh, that's wild. I wonder if that has to do with any of the political associations that conspiracy theories tend to have,
Right.
Personally, I find it, a little... difficult being a liberally minded guy in the UFO community. There seems to be a lot that aren't, but we've made a lot of connections that are, of course.
Right, yeah. And there's definitely cliques, right?
Right, yeah.
William Pullen was talking about that a little, and everything he's told us about the UFO community, it makes it sound the UFO community is really hard for anyone who has, slightly different views on what the UFO
right.
community is. So if you have, a different background or a different race, I can imagine that would be hard.
And he's also pointed out to us that the polarization of politics has made its way into the UFO community.
Absolutely.
And that practically every UFO conversation tends to get shut down because politics...
Right, it devolves into that.
And then coronavirus, there's no getting away from coronavirus.
Everyone else is covering this too, but...
Right,
it's a pandemic. We've got
the percentages that you just gave me, I'm going to ask you to give me those again.
Yeah.
What was it?
So 4 in 10 Democrats say coronavirus is an imminent threat compared to 2 in 10 Republicans. So twice as many. And interestingly, those numbers are still both lower, much lower than I thought. It's still less than a majority in both parties.
Right, but I feel like the follow-up statistic was contradictory to that.
It kind of was. And, you know, that's always a thing with polling. It depends on how you ask the question.
Well, it seems like 4 in 10 Democrats think it's an issue, while 2 in 10 Republicans think it's an issue. But less Democrats are changing their life about it, and more Republicans are?
Oh, so the follow-up statistic was 40% haven't changed their routines. Okay. Of Democrats, but 54% say they haven't changed their routines. It was worded kind of weirdly. Worded kind of weirdly.
Yeah.
But so basically, more than half of Republicans haven't changed their routines, and a little less than half of Democrats haven't changed their routines.
You know, it makes you wonder if, you know, because the automatic response to it. To this is that, oh, it's the president's fault, or it's the government's fault,
sure.
It's the information coming from the White House. And, you know, that was the automatic thing that I jumped to as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think about it, it also might have to do with...
What?
You done looking at yourself?
No.
All right.
I will never be done mucking for the camera.
It also might have to do with the location of these people.
Yeah, and that's
you know,
possible.
Because I live in a pretty rural area, and I do feel a little less threatened. I think if I were to live in New York City or live in a big city, I think I would be chronically more apt to be terrified.
Yeah, you'd be more worried. And more to the point, the West Coast has been hit very hard.
Right.
The East Coast is just starting to get it. Florida's just starting to get it. It's hardly in the South. It's hardly in, you know, the Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that affects it, too. But also, just when you look at media, right-wing media has tended to downplay the significance of the virus.
Right.
And I would say, you know, not left-wing, but, like, more mainstream media, I think has tended to be a little more hysterical about it. Like, I think, just watching the evening news, it's like...
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
that's all they're
well,
talking about.
Well, you've been
about,
staying
right?
with us for the past couple of weeks, and every night we watch the news, and, you know, the first thing that comes
it's
up
always
is
coronavirus.
The death toll.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
always,
all about
you know,
the death toll.
The same stock footage of the crews.
Right.
And then the same stock footage of, you know, President
of the
Trump
nurses
and,
carrying the sheets as they're pushing people out and
exactly.
Crazy.
So, you know, I think it also really depends on where you get your news source. But, like, compare that way on the other side. Rush Limbaugh said the coronavirus is just the common cold and it's, you know, a conspiracy.
And Trump told people to go to work.
The president. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, right. So,
which
you
is,
know.
I mean, that's, I would argue, more wrong probably than than being hyperbolic about
so
it.
So I'm going to put this out there to the audience out there. Regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, your side is not doing a very good job. All right, and then finally, oil prices going down. It's hard. It's hard not to think that these oil prices are also connected to coronavirus.
They are a little
bit,
yeah.
That they're also, because of course people aren't traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, therefore, oil's getting spent less. But at the same time, you know, people are more apt to have stuff delivered.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that'll bring it back up. But
this
you
is
know,
also something that's been in the works, though. There's been talks between Russia and OPEC for a while, and basically these talks just collapsed. And so now Saudi Arabia is saying, well, screw you. We're just going to sell our oil for as cheap as we can.
Right.
We don't have an agreement anymore, and that's, you know, that's what's happening.
I can't help but to think that there is some sort of lowering of the price in order to slow the progression of more eco-friendly energy.
It's possible.
You know, but I often think about
it's also it's bad for oil producing companies or countries though when the price is lowered. I mean,
yeah, but it's also bad if it goes away and is low forever.
True. Yeah.
You know. Yeah, Venezuela is not doing good.
It is not, but it was doing pretty well until oil prices crashed. And
it was doing well until they elected Bernie Sanders. is what it was.
Yeah, it's just Bernie Sanders wearing a Maduro mask.
Right.
We all know this.
Yeah. One of those comedy shows was saying that Bernie Sanders' running mate was going to be the ghost of Fidel Castro.
Which I'd vote for him.
Which I thought was pretty dang funny, you know.
Well, he said he wouldn't have a running mate who didn't agree with him on Medicare for All.
Right.
So I think that kind of leaves...
Warren?
Maybe Warren, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the ghost of Fidel Castro.
The ghost of Fidel Castro. Yeah, yeah. All
who
right,
I
well.
Imagine is all in for Medicare for All.
We'll see if these prices lower, because now when I live, you know, I mean, if I want to do a drive-through fast food place, I got to drive to, like, Medford. There's, what, Taco Bell here in Ashland. There's nothing else.
There's Wendy's.
It's not, I don't think it's drive-through.
Maybe not.
Who makes a Wendy's that's not drive-through?
Yeah. It's got to be drive-through.
I don't know. All right.
Chime in, listeners. Is Wendy's a drive-through?
The ultimate
we want
conspiracy.
To hear from you.
This is what gas makes me think of. Strife in the Middle East makes me think of my drive-through eating situation. All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we will be talking about black-eyed children.
I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland here this evening. Kara and I will be talking about black-eyed children. Kara's done a little research. And she's going to answer some of my pressing questions to the best of her ability.
Yeah, just urban legend monsters in general. But yeah,
we're going to cover skinwalkers later, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, black-eyed children didn't really come to me. I guess that sounds crazy. They started coming to me when I, you
well,
know,
that is what black-eyed children
do. When I had that aneurysm.
Do, so.
You know, no, I saw it in movies first.
Really?
Being a horror movie fan, I saw a couple of movies with black-eyed children in it. Maybe not specifically black-eyed children, but the concept of the hooded kid in a hoodie coming to the door, knocking, disappearing.
Well, there was a
stuff.
2012 movie called The Black Eyed Kid.
Yeah, this was not called that, though. Okay. This was, like, Shut the Door or something ridiculous.
Interesting. I wasn't aware that there were actually a lot of other movies that kind of covered the concept. But
yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know if a lot, but a couple few. You know, a couple
yeah,
few.
Yeah, well, that's more than I thought.
And, you know, I thought it was really cool and really interesting, but I had the same concern while watching it that I have in real life, and that is, what the hell would these things even be? You know, it seems like a pretty far-fetched, weird concept. It's like The Ring. You know, a haunted videotape? I mean, sure, when you're wrapped up in the suspension of disbelief of watching the film, you can get in there. But, like, if you take a step back, you're all like, what do ghosts know about videotapes?
Sure.
You know, and, like, why does it have to work in the VCR? I mean, if it just haunted the thing, couldn't it...
Well, I think there are some differences there, because I don't know that there's anything about modern black-eyed children that's, like, culturally specific to modern times.
I think it's like kids on their own outside in hoodies. I don't know. I find it weird. I find it weird. So what do we think that these things
be? So there's a lot of different theories. It ranges from, you know, aliens to vampires to ghosts to demons, etc. It kind of, you know, it kind of depends on, like, what your worldview is, frankly, when you're looking at how you're coming to the story. But I think a lot of the explanations are, like, generally spiritual in nature.
Right.
Because one of the hallmarks of the black-eyed children is that they, like, require some form of invitation or something like that.
To come in or to start knocking at your door?
Well, to come in.
I see.
And that seems to be generally what they're after, and they get very upset when they're denied it. So, and that's, like, the hallmark of basically every black-eyed children story. Can I just, like, walk you through?
Yeah.
So, here's the first, like, ever black-eyed children story, basically.
All right.
It comes from 1996, a Texas journalist called Brian Bethel. So, he's sitting in the theater parking lot in his car. He's using the light of the theater marquee to write a check. I cracked the window a bit, he says, anticipating a spiel for money. These two children have just approached him. But I was immediately gripped by an incomprehensible, soul-racking fear. I had no idea why. A conversation ensued between one boy, a somewhat suave, olive-skinned, curly-headed young man, and myself. The other, a red-headed, pale-skinned, freckled young man, stayed in the background. The spokesman, as I've come to think of him, told me that he and his companion needed a ride. They wanted to see a movie, Mortal Kombat, but they had left their money at their mother's house. Could I give them a ride? Plausible enough. But all throughout this exchange, the irrational fear continued and grew. I had no reason to be frightened at these two boys, but I was, terribly. After a bit more conversation, I looked up at the theater marquee and down at the digital clock display in my car. Mortal Kombat's last show of the night had already started. By the time I could have driven the boys anywhere and back, it would have practically been over. All the while, the spokesman uttered assurances. It wouldn't take long. They were just two little kids. They didn't have a gun or anything. That last part was a little unnerving. I noticed that
the kids said this?
The kids, yes. The kids were explaining to him, what are you afraid of? We don't have a gun. We're just two little kids.
Okay, continue.
Which is not how I usually go about reassuring people, but different strokes, I guess. I noticed that my hand had strayed toward the lock on the door. I pulled it away, perhaps a little too violently. In the short time I had broken the gaze of the spokesman, something had changed, and my mind exploded in a vortex of all-consuming terror. Both boys stared at me with coal-black eyes, the sort of eyes one sees these days on aliens or bargain-basement vampires on late-night television, soulless orbs like two great swaths of starless night. I did what I feel any rational person would do. I full-on freaked out inside while trying to appear completely sane and calm. I apologized to the kids. I made whatever excuse came to mind, all of them designed to get me out of there fast. I wrapped my hand around the gear shift, threw the car into reverse, and began to roll up the window, apologizing all the while. The spokesman banged sharply on the window as I rolled it up. His words, full of anger, echo in my mind even today. We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay. Let us in. And, yeah, so he drives away. The encounter ends. He doesn't see them again.
How young are we talking, or do we know?
He doesn't say in this particular encounter, but generally we're talking 10, 12.
Teenager.
Yeah, exactly, teenager. Yeah. A little younger sometimes, a little older sometimes. Usually there's, like, varying ages in a group.
Right.
Usually, like, the spoke... Usually there's one who talks and the others don't. That's a big thing. And usually that one's a little older. So there are thousands of these stories online, and they all right. follow generally the same pattern. They're just doing something innocuous. They're approached by usually multiple black-eyed children, sometimes just one. They have some, you know, minor request, but they feel but the person feels really uneasy about granting it, and they don't know why. And then they see that, you know, these kids have these black eyes, and they freak out.
Yeah, well, I feel...
That's how these stories go.
Yeah, I feel that, you know, when you listen to these things, you try to take apart what they're saying. And,
sure.
And the only thing that was throwing me off there... Okay, so he said one thing that threw me off and one thing that made sense. One thing that threw me off was he got a little poetic about how black their eyes were.
Well, so this was written in a newspaper. This wasn't public... this guy originally published this account in, like, well, like, the first mention of it was in 1997 on a message board, and it was not poetic there. This was published in 2013, him reiterating the encounter and going
right.
through it in more detail.
So he had so some that's time to hit a thesaurus.
He had, yeah, right. and this guy is a reporter.
Who this happened to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So... And this, for me, is one of the big...
That explains the eloquence, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this is, for me, one thing that makes me skeptical of this entire phenomenon, is there are very few reports of this before 1996, none of which, as far as I can tell, were reported on prior to that time. You know, there's people now saying, hey, this happened to me in the 80s, but they didn't say anything at the time. And right. this guy is a reporter, and he is specifically, like, a spirituality reporter, writer, person.
Right.
So the fact that these sightings appeared all of a sudden in 1996, and, you know, now there's thousands and thousands of sightings, it's a big deal. You can go on the internet, and you can find tons of these sightings, but they're pretty much all anonymous.
Right. You know, I hadn't really... You know, the one thing that he said, I guess I should finish what I was saying, that
yeah.
that I identified with is when he said he did what any rational person would do, I was sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, what's that? And he's all got absolutely terrified and got out of there. I'm all, okay. You
know, yeah, I mean, that's reasonable.
That's pretty accurate. You
yeah.
know, didn't try to have a conversation with them, see what's up, you know, mm-hmm. where's your mommy or something like that, you know. We're about to go to break here, but my wife does something really funny now when she hits Spangers or anything like that. She says no thank you. So, like, they'll be all, hey, can you spare a dollar? And she's just all, oh, no thank you. And, like, goes in, and by the time they recover from the weirdness of whatever she just said to them, she's long gone and out of the
situation. I decline your offer to give you a dollar.
And her other thing is, when people approach her in a parking lot, she straight up tells them, it makes me uncomfortable when people approach me in parking lots. And, like, you could get, like, the dirtiest, craziest, hopeless dude. And if she says that to him, he's all, oh, I'm sorry, and, like, will slink away. You know, there's something
that
about the word uncomfortable that makes people, you're making me uncomfortable, and it makes them just back right down, it seems. So use that with your black-eyed
yeah.
children.
Pro tips.
All right. Sounds like we're about to explode, and it is time for a commercial.
That's just the Illuminati shutting us down.
It is. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back for some more black-eyed children.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
CareNet Pregnancy Center, a faith-based medical facility in Shasta County, will hold their annual 5K fun run and walk at the Sundial Bridge at Turtle Bay on Saturday, April 18th. The Knights of Columbus will provide a pancake breakfast. CareNet receives no government funds. They're completely supported by listeners like you. For more information or to register, visit carenetreading.org. Life, it's worth running for.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. It's Chauncey, it's Kara, and we're talking about black-eyed children. You know,
yes,
before
we
went to the break, we talked about the first big one.
Right.
The first... Had this guy ever heard of this happening to anybody before? Is this guy literally the inception of when this first hit the mainstream? Because you were saying people in the 80s like said, oh, that happened to me. But does that mean that they came out of the woodwork after the fact?
Well, I think that is what we're supposed to believe. That they never mentioned it until black-eyed children became, like, a thing.
Right.
But there's no indication that this guy ever heard of this happening to anyone else before it happened to him. What he says is he posted it on a message board, and pretty quickly he got tons and tons of emails of people saying, oh, I've seen these things, this happened to me, all that kind of thing.
It is one of those things that's hard for me to reconcile with paranormal, that there are dates when things start, especially when it comes to spiritual stuff.
Yes.
You know, why would, is that like when the hell mouth was opened in Sunnyvale, or like what was going on there?
I think that might have been the first season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Which,
you know,
is, in fact, the hell mouth does open at the end of the season. So
right?
that could be why.
Don't act like I don't know these things.
That was the reference you were making.
That was the reference I was making.
I get it. Okay.
But, you know, earlier we were talking a little bit about what we think that they might be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, extraterrestrials never crossed my mind.
Yeah.
But that one actually makes sense that, you know, they need to get a sweater, cover their weird heads.
Yeah, there's some similarity just to grays,
some help.
Right? You know, they got the big black eyes and they're small.
Right.
So, there's some similarities to, like, fae legends, which think, you know, maybe we're inspired by grays. You know, ufologists tend to think that kind of thing, like abductions and all. That's what the fae do. The fae are supposed to be small like children, and they are sometimes described as having these pitch black eyes. So that's a possibility. I think it's difficult for me to say that that's what's going on, though, because of their weird thing where they ask for permission.
Right.
That to me seems like it has straight up roots in, like, demonic sort of vehicle, that kind of thing.
Right.
Because that's like a demon trademark. You're not supposed to interact with them, or, you know, they gain a foothold in your mind or whatever.
Sure.
So that's kind of what it sounds like to me. People have suggested vampires. I think that's a joking thing. Like, A, I don't think there are a lot of people who really believe in vampires, and B, the whole vampires need an invitation thing invented by Hollywood. There's a sort of similarity in folklore, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not really. So I think we can discount that one. They're not vampires.
You know, I don't know who said it or if it's from the Bible. I don't think it's from the Bible. I think got it from the movie The Devil's Advocate, but
sure.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing man that he didn't exist.
Oh, that's not from The Devil's Advocate. That's from The Usual Suspects.
Is that it?
Kevin Spacey says it about Kaiser Soze.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't clear that up, though. We don't want to spoil that one.
He's being interrogated by this detective about this dude named Kaiser Soze, who's like an urban legend.
Right, right.
But Kevin Spacey's terrified of him.
Right.
So, because everyone's terrified of
what
him.
Where I'm going with this is I'm trying to reconcile the stuff starting at a certain point in history.
Sure.
You know, and maybe on a demonic level, there is effectiveness in the belief and fear that goes with an urban legend.
Right.
You know,
possible, yeah. So you think maybe this urban legend started and now, you know, demons are saying, ooh, that's a good template, let's do it that way.
Yeah, one crazy demon did it one day. Guess what I did to this one dude?
And everyone's like,
worked,
oh,
and the word started Belphegor, to get around.
That's amazing. I'm going to try that.
Right. Know? Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like, because I think about that a lot. You know, a lot of the time, you know, people talk about, we have people talking about spirituality, other worlds. We had some great shows here recently with Tim Woolworth talking about other realities, possibly even communicating to the spirit world.
Right.
And one question that always comes up for me with that is culture. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are, every single animal has some kind of culture. Every single living thing has some weird culture, way of interacting. And I have a hard time with that with demons. You know, it's like, do they go to the bar?
Yeah, do they have, you know, their little demon meetings?
Right.
Is it like Good Omens?
Are there demons that, like, make fun of other demons and demons who feel bad about themselves because they're not demon enough? You know, is that me putting too much humanity on them? But it's like, if
I think a cultist would tell you that, yes, they absolutely do. And the astral plane is all about, you know, all these demons and spirits just interacting all the time.
Yeah. It's just a wild, wild concept.
It's an interesting thing to think about.
But I really think if we're dealing with black-eyed children, that's what we're dealing with is some sort of truly supernatural situation.
I agree.
A lot of the stuff we cover on here is fringe science or the possibility of aliens. None of that I really would consider supernatural.
But we talk about ghosts and stuff,
ghosts, when you deal with the idea of residual energies and stuff like that, is scientific, not supernatural. But in this case, I think we would
kind of
truly, well, it's grasping at something scientific.
Yeah, but then couldn't you just say, you know, demons are energies from other dimensions or something? I mean,
you can, but it's a much further grasp. You know?
I guess.
That salt is on the far side of the table. You're going to have to ask somebody to hand that to you. That's a reach.
I'm just going to put my chin in the soup and reach all the way across.
Right, yeah,
I don't care.
You know, so I don't know, you know.
So there is one account of a woman who let the black-eyed children in.
Oh, great.
And
great.
So it's a very long account. I'm not going to read it or anything. But
paraphrase.
The upshot is that what happened is she and her husband let these children in to use the phone, because that's what they wanted. They called their parents. There was a lot of weird, like, flickering lights with the electronics. The kids were acting creepy and just saying over and over, "Our parents are coming."
That's terrible.
They were getting nosebleeds and dizzy spells while they were there. The kids were seemingly, like, appearing, like, moving around the house without being seen moving around the house. You know, horror movie stuff. Eventually, a car pulled up in front of the house. They didn't see who was in it. The kids got in, and that was the end of it. Except that the husband was diagnosed with melanoma, like, shortly thereafter. Apparently a awesome. Type of melanoma that's, like, associated with over-tanning, which is something this guy's apparently never done in his life. The woman says she's been getting, that they've both been getting these nosebleeds and dizzy spells since it happened, and that she is in the worst condition of her life. And the URL says, I encountered the black-eyed children, and now I'm slowly dying. And that was sort of the implication, was that, like...
Some serious clickbait right there.
Yeah. Yes. So, this is the only account we have of what happens when you let them in. But it's...
Were these the only people that we know that let them in?
Yes, the dumbest people... in the world.
Well, I don't know. You know, but, I think if you were...
I would let them in, to be honest. I wouldn't want to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. My wife would let him in. She'd be all like, oh, let me mom you. She's mom to the world, so...
Those are cool eyes.
Yeah, totally. Oh.
Those contacts?
Yeah, my daughter has a pair of contacts just like those.
Exactly.
Because Terry, you know, is the cosplay equivalent of a soccer mom, or at least was when our kids were younger.
That's awesome.
But, so ultimately, I know I would like to believe this one. I would like this
skeptical.
One to be real. I want it to be real. It's freaking cool.
It's the coolness factor is part of what makes me skeptical, to be
right.
honest.
It's
sounds...
like it was made too much for me. It's like Slenderman. I can't do no Slenderman because it was obviously made for me.
It's very similar to Slenderman, although the people who made up Slenderman do not maintain it was real.
No, I know
I mean,
that.
That's
but a lot of other people
different.
Do.
True.
Yeah, a lot of other people do. So, yeah. You know, look at Whitley Strieber. Whitley Strieber was a science fiction writer who mm-hmm. later wrote Communion and basically claimed that his science fiction writing was part of the trauma and repressed memories
right.
of his abduction.
And Communion has had a ridiculously massive impact on...
Absolutely.
On all things UFO, especially as it concerns abductions. So.
Plus, it's got Christopher Walken in it, and everybody likes that.
True.
Ain't no going wrong with Christopher Walken. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, I'm going to find out what a skinwalker is. I've heard about him before. I saw a movie called Skinwalkers with Stephen
Ranch.
King. I've heard Skinwalker Ranch, and when we come back, I'm going to find out exactly what that is. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Back Home Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Back Home Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere, Ag, and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Alan Gordon here, Bushmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, us. As we were talking about black-eyed children before, and now we're going to talk about skinwalkers. Now, this is something that comes up all the time. It seems to be, I'm just going to throw out my layman's understanding of it.
Sure.
It seems to be a bridge between supernatural and aliens. Skinwalker Ranch, you know, I'm not sure it's associated with UFO sightings, but I don't understand what that has to do with Native American spiritualism. It's a weird hodgepodge of stuff in my head. So,
kinda.
What is a skinwalker?
So, a skinwalker is basically a werewolf. But, it's, to break it down a little, it's a type of Native American shapeshifter. Specifically, it comes from Navajo culture. The idea is that some people who are trained as, like, healers and shamans get corrupted and do these horrible rituals to gain the shape-shifting power and basically use their powers for evil. In Navajo culture, you are not supposed to talk about skinwalkers. You're not supposed to think about skinwalkers, and they certainly don't like people who aren't Navajo talking about skinwalkers, so sorry. But kind of has entered the popular consciousness a little bit at this point.
Now, why is that? Is it a spiritual thing to them, or is it a fear-based thing? Or?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, the reason for outsiders is that basically they don't want people perverting and, more significantly, like, profiting off of their myths, right?
Okay,
but,
that makes sense.
Also, skinwalkers are supposed to be able to read minds, and the idea is that, you know, if you go around talking about them, they might take exception to that.
I see. And you might draw their attention.
Right, so they have a slew of terrifying powers, but like black-eyed children, there are a lot of accounts of skinwalkers online, many of which are not anonymous. When we had Linda Gottfried on talking about the Beast of Bray Road and Dogman,
right,
these came up. She said that she thought that maybe this, like, when we asked, what do you think these Dogman sightings actually are, this is what she went to, is skinwalkers.
Right.
So, here's a typical sighting.
Okay.
For some reason, these sightings always tend to happen on freeways. So these people are on a freeway. We crest the top of this hill, and down at the bottom of the hill, we see what appears to be a very large dog sitting back on its haunches in the middle of the road, facing the cliffs. My dad calls over the radio, "Hey, Trav, do you see that big-ass dog?" Travis starts yelling back over the radio, "That is not a dog. Speed up right now and hit it." He sounds almost hysterical. He just keeps screaming, "Hit it. You have to hit it. Please, please, hit it right now." So my dad starts to speed up, and as we get a bit closer, I can begin to see it a little more clearly. It's covered in this brown, wiry, matted hair that appears to have dried blood all over it. It's still facing the cliffs, but the moment our headlights hit it, it turns and looks at it, and it has a face I don't know how else to describe it other than a mix between a bear's and a human's face. It looks twisted and distorted and almost in pain. As we get closer to this thing, we start to realize it's actually huge. Though it was still sitting on its haunches, it is about shoulder height with the hood of the truck. We get literally inches from hitting it when it lets out the scream that sounds like someone screaming as their lungs were filling with water, and it leaps backwards towards the field, landing just on our side of the barbed wire fence. Then with another leap, it was gone from sight. More stuff happens. Pretty soon we are speeding like crazy, and just as we start to come near the outskirts of Gallup, we get pulled over. Travis pulls his truck over with us. Naturally, this makes the cop, a Navajo man himself, very on edge, and he immediately asks why Travis felt the need to pull over as well. Travis says, "We just saw a skinwalker a few miles back, and it's been following us." The officer immediately turns white, stammers something about a verbal warning, gets in his car, and takes off. We do the same.
Huh.
So that's a typical skinwalker sighting. They can take the forms of all kinds of animals, but generally, and there's pictures of them too, you know, sort of, I don't know how much stock to put in the pictures, but they're generally described as looking wolf-like, huge, and, you know, wrong in some way, sort of twisted or distorted, maybe with human-like features, just weird-looking, not like a normal animal.
Right.
The first sighting in Skinwalker Ranch that gave it its name involved a giant wolf's, like, sort of wolf-bear thing eating some of their cattle. They shot it several times with two different firearms, and it was not only not killed, but was apparently completely uninjured, and it ran away.
And this is why Skinwalker Ranch is called Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah, so there were a few other sightings like that, but Skinwalker Ranch has tons of paranormal events of all kinds. But what gave it its name is the Skinwalker encounters, and it's right in the middle of Skinwalker territory. This is something that's very particular to the American Southwest. But
and I'm embarrassed to admit that, but is that where the Navajo are from?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So the American Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a wild one. So what's the association with UFOs? Just other paranormal things going on?
Yeah, the association is not something...
Skinwalker Ranch?
Yeah, the association is not from the Navajo. The association is basically from Skinwalker Ranch. That's why people associate the two, is because Skinwalker Ranch has had, like, weird lights and stuff.
Right.
And it's, for, like, white people, the most well-known example of Skinwalker legends. You know, that's kind of in the popular consciousness.
Well, I can see why the Navajo don't want it used, because that initial freeway story that you told me is, like, a great horror film.
Right. They're supposed to be able to keep pace with cars. They're supposed to be able to move 600 miles in a night.
Yeah.
You know.
And it would easily surpass the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me while driving, which is pretty terrifying. Me
What's
and my
that?
Friend Jason were driving to Chico down the back roads from Redding, and it's pitch black. And Jason's driving like 60 miles an hour down these back roads. Which
yeah,
is
I know those
speed.
Roads.
Yeah.
They're a little.
And all of a sudden in the blackness in front of us is a large square even blacker than the world around us.
That's weird.
And at the last minute, he swerves and misses what is a open dumpster facing us, where we would have driven into this dumpster at 60 miles an hour.
Not always
in the middle of
do.
A black road in the middle of nowhere. So Skinwalker would outdo that.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah, and they're supposed to chase you. They're supposed to not like people seeing them. There's some varying theories, you know. Are these the actual people shape-shifted? Are they, as Linda Godfrey seemed to believe, sort of the spirit of this person, like, projected out and given some form of semi-physical form?
Right.
It's worth noting, though, there's a ton of correspondences between skinwalkers in the Navajo legend and werewolves from the European legends. They're not supposed to be able to be killed by bullets. The Beast of Gavudan, popular werewolf legend, though some people think it was just a huge wolf, but in any case it killed 113 people in France in the 18th century. It was shot several times. It was never hurt until it was finally shot with a silver bullet, which is the origin of that legend.
Awesome.
Skinwalkers aren't supposed to be able to be killed by anything other than a white ash bullet, a bullet dipped in white ash. So take that for what you will.
So I found that with indigenous, aboriginal folklore in general, that these situations tend to have purpose.
Yes.
Or these spirits tend to have purpose. Is there a purpose associated with the skinwalker? Is it associated with...
Well, these aren't spirits. That's what makes them scary. They're people.
Oh, they're actual physical entities.
They aren't entities. They are human beings who have learned to take on this animal form.
Oh.
That's what's so freaky about them.
Right.
So, you know, what's the purpose of a human being?
But the Navajo consider them to be bad guys.
Yes, they...
Not good.
Yes, being a skinwalker is supposed to be... is the antithesis of everything that is, like, good in Navajo culture. You're not supposed to be a skinwalker. That's a very bad thing to be.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come back next week and listen about time-traveling humans. And until then, do something else.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.